Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. This is an empowering hour. Lycopene is a promising nutrient that can prevent gastric diseases associated with H. pylori, Yonsei University in Japan. I'll talk about that and a lot more on how we can live a longer and healthier life. Then I'm going to raise a few questions I'd like you to call in and share your points of view. I'm going to talk about what's going on right now with the draft of an inclusive curriculum at a major, highly respected, one of the most famous of the British universities, where they are destroying Newton. And as a result, getting rid of everything involving quite simply one of the most important scientific minds in history. And if they can do that to Newton, who will be next on their chopping block? What do they know? Have they ever read anything by Newton? Are they aware of what he did? The cancel culture is in full force. It is unbridled, and it's very destructive. So we'll be challenging it wherever appropriate, whenever way we can. But I'd like your input on this as well. That same cancel culture is against a lot of things that ostensibly seem at the outset to make sense. For example, if you're against police brutality, and what reasonable person wouldn't be, or what I've been against for a long time, and I've made my point very clear, stop and search. If you're not going to stop and search everyone coming out of a Wall Street building, out of a Broadway theater, out of Lincoln Center, then don't stop and search anyone else, because then that's profiling, that's racism. Okay. So we have demonstrations against those police. So is it the police? And they'll say, yeah, it's the police. We want to defund the police. All right. What is the biggest police force in America? Is it the 800,000 more or less U.S. police? No, it is not. It's the military. So when did we have protests at the Pentagon? And what about the secret police and the operatives that actually go out and kill people, assassinate union leaders, assassinate progressives, assassinate democratically elected heads of state? Oh, the list is long. I've shared it with you many times on this show. Why aren't you protesting in front of CIA headquarters? Why aren't you denouncing their tactics of regime change, including Barack Obama? Why aren't you protesting in front of his house? Did he not destroy an entire nation? In Hillary Clinton's house, did she not cooperate in Samantha Power and all the rest? Why aren't we protesting in front of these people who actually cause hundreds of thousands of people to die, droning people, having insurrections that the CIA sponsored? Is that not worthy of being a challengeable issue? So who is not paying attention to what we really need to end regime change against sovereign nations like Syria and everything else that goes with it, yet not a word, not a protest? When the President of the United States passes the largest military budget in history, giving $12 billion more to the military-industrial complex than ever before, where's the protest? In front of the White House? Giving our money, but none of that money, not a penny, will go to inner cities. Not a penny will go to bring back manufacturing and jobs for working class people to give a living wage in any city in the United States. It's not there. I've looked at everything they're doing. I don't see any solutions. But why aren't they protesting that? And by the way, if you don't think that's important, why don't you take a look at how much money the people who run those corporations made just in the past year alone, just in the last year? Over $240 billion to the top executives of the military-industrial complex. All that money came from we, the taxpayers. So why isn't that an issue? So one group of people who are running corporations who can hire lobbyists, all of which is being paid for by our government and hence by us, and then they get all this money, have all this control to go out and destroy the world, and yet we don't protest at all. Not a single person, nothing. It doesn't exist. Wow. What hypocrisy. what utter hypocrisy we engage in. And yet, the facts are all there. So today I'm going to do some commentaries. I'm going to share my own commentary, but also I'm going to share commentaries from The Woke and Unwoke. Matthew Schmitz did an outstanding piece about how American politics is fast becoming a religious conflict between a hegemonic new faith, the woke generation, who've contributed nothing. Their whole motto is tear it down, destroy it, from our history to major institutions, even the foundation of education, how to think critically, and its multifarious foes. We'll also have some vaccine questions from Off-Guardian Susie Haywood. Very important, the questions we're not asking. And also, here's something for you. What do you think about the FDA is expected to okay Pfizer's vaccines for teenagers within a week? Quote, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is expected to authorize Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for youngsters as age 12 to 15 by next week, according to a federal official. Okay, that's from AP. Well, what does the science show? Are children 12 to 18 and being infected and dying from COVID? How about the answer is no, none. You have more kids by 100 measures killing themselves on drugs or suicide. But COVID is not their problem. But why would anyone in the media not challenge? It's about profit and controlling the system and knowing that they'll add billions upon tens of billions by bringing in children and then infants, nets, and kids. And that's not what is the problem with COVID and children. Doesn't exist. What do you think? No science, none, zero, supporting this. But they have all the power of the White House and the full corruption of all of the bureaucracies in Washington, the FDA, the CDC, all the politicians for hire, and not a peep will come from any of the mainstream media on this. Your thoughts? Yet we're going to see a lot of injured and dead children from the vaccines. By the way, just to give you the facts on this, this was, quote, executives at top Pentagon contractors raked in $276.5 million last year because nobody questions the death machine in Washington, and Biden just gave them the most money in their history. Not a word. And also Mike Whitney. New report sheds light on the vaccine doomsday cult. Important. So I'm going to deal with all these things, or as many as I can today, so that you'll have better understanding. And also, from John Whitehead and Nasha Whitehead, and my own input, because I've written extensively on this, published articles in national magazines on this, how the U.S. government secretly experimented on Americans with viruses. Yeah, we have the proof. It's there. It's not a question. It's not a conspiracy. It's there. So how the government keeps experimenting on its own citizens and few people seem to care. Oh, and let me start with this. How about this? What's the newest treatment for ADHD that we know can detoxify a kid naturally? Because I've done it in clinical studies. No, don't do it naturally. Note from MedPage Today, Kristen Morocco, amphetamine patch succeeds among kids with ADHD, a transdermal amphetamine. Oh, is that something like methamphetamine? Is it one of the high stimulants? Is it addictive? Does it actually help them? I've heard this argument before. And that is the new way of treating. Very expensive, very profitable. Any discussion on it? None. Any debate? Not at all. Anyone coming up to criticize it? They won't be heard because we don't allow that today. So this is the stuff that we have to talk about. Have open, honest, and intelligent conversations. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. We all know that Helicobacter pylori, P-Y-L-O-R-I, it's a spiral-shaped bacterium that grows in your digestive tract. It's a very opportunistic pathogen. it is considered to be the most successful colonizer of the human gastrointestinal tract. It infects your stomach. In fact, roughly 60% of the world's adult population has it. Well, according to this study from Yonsei University in South Korea, they found that lycopene, L-Y-C-O-P-E-N-E, that's what you get when you have tomatoes or tomato sauce, watermelon, red raspberries, strawberries, cherries, red peppers, that's where you want it and to get it from. It's a bioactive pigment. It's very powerful. Well, it can help prevent gastric diseases associated with H. pylori. And lycopene, which is a non-provitamin carotenoid, commonly found in all your orange and red food, also in papaya, by the way, this beneficial compound is extensively studied. It has thousands of articles because it helps to scavenge free radicals, the unstable byproducts of cellular metabolism responsible for causing oxidative stress. Here's how it works. According to the studies, H. pylori infection promotes the hyperproliferation of gastric epithelial cells, the very cells that make up the stomach lining, by increasing the production of free radicals called reactive oxygen species, or OSs, then activates two signaling pathways that influence cell cell fate decisions. And the carotenoids here come in and interrupt that process. So, this was published in the journal, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So take in your red and yellow fruits and vegetables and help protect yourself. Now, there's one thing I know because I've done the studies on it in the laboratory and in clinical practice. People with H. pylori, I give high doses of vitamin C and 3 times a day for 3 days in a row, 8 ounces of non-salted cabbage juice. Fennel, anise, which works wonders on gastric problems and upset stomach and indigestion, and that works great, killing off H. pylori bacteria. So that's good. Now, we eat way too much salt, a lot of salt. Yeah, you can see it in swollen ankles and puffy face and bags under the eyes. Yeah, you can see it in high blood pressure. But also, what's going on in the body? Well, according to the Bilbrook Center for Molecular Medicine in Germany, too much salt suppresses phagocytes. Phago, P-H-A-G-O, cytes, C-Y-T-E-S, phagocytes. So for many people, adding salt to a meal is a perfectly normal thing to do. We don't really think about it, but actually we should. As well as raising our blood pressure, too much salt can severely disrupt the energy balance in immune cells and stop your immune cells from working properly. And that's because there was a doctor, Dominic Mueller, at the Max Delbruck Center for Molecular Medicine. And what they found is that elevated sodium concentrations, like after having French fries or a pizza, yeah, or potato chips, in the blood affects both the activation and the function of patrolling monocytes, which are precursors to macrophages. So salt disrupts the respiratory chain in cells. So if you want to have better respiration, stay off the sodium. Again, use lime, lemon, and it can substitute. In fact, I once baked. It wasn't even baking. It was 120 degrees, which still maintains its raw quality and raw labeling. I wanted to show some people. I made some French fries. Remember, this was years ago, the Institute of Applied Biology. And when they were done, I sprayed a combination of lemon-lime juice around the French fries. And these were from organic potatoes. And I left the skins on because of alpha lipoic acid and calcium near the surface. And I served them. And these were people who, none of them were into health. I mean, they were overweight, they smoked, they drank. But I just wanted to try something. I'm up on the third floor, so I take them down to the first floor where all of the gene research is being done and the cancer research, and all very orthodox. And I just took this big plate and I walked around, and I said, here, just have some French fries. And they took them, ate them. I said, later, I came back, how was it? Oh, great, great. Bring them down anytime. And I said, how do those taste compared to something you buy at a fast food restaurant? You know, good, no problems. And when I told them there was no salt on them, they couldn't believe that. And that they were actually raw, but they had been heated at 120 degrees for a couple hours in this food drying oven I had upstairs. I was preparing some foods that would last a little bit, but would still be raw and full of their natural nutrients and antioxidants, enzymes. And they just couldn't believe that I didn't deep fry that in some trans fat and then sprinkle a whole lot of salt on it. So you can fool people who wouldn't otherwise have something healthy. You could do it with a veggie burger, which now is common. And in fact, I'm watching some food companies bring out entire lines of food, which is a good thing if they're using non-genetically engineered items. And they are. They're saying no GMOs, organic. So for all the people who would like to transition to a more healthy plant-based diet but like their comfort foods, this is one way to make that transition. And it's expected within the next year or two, there'll be about 10,000 different items that are vegan because that's where the market's going. So that's why just be aware, if you want a stronger immune system, especially at this time, lay off the salt because that can really harm you. Now, also from Medical University in China, the ginkgo biloba extract improves cognitive function. That's good. And increases neurogenesis. And that's good. So if you want to reduce the amyloid beta plaques in your brain that contribute to cognitive dysfunction and Alzheimer's, then ginkgo, G-I-N-K-G-O, biloba, B-I-L-O-B-A. I would say 150 to 200 milligrams will do fine. Also, from Baylor College of Medicine, this is good. Fasting lowers your blood pressure by reshaping the gut microbiota. We've been saying how good modified fasting is. This is just one more study. Now, mind you, almost half of all American adults have hypertension or high blood pressure. That really increases your risk of heart disease and stroke, and which is a leading cause of death. So by modified fasting, you're changing the gut microbiota, and also known as gut dysbiosis, and that can change blood pressure. So modified fasting, don't eat at night. Try to stop after your last meal and don't have anything more until mid-morning. Oh, and by the way, from Brigham and Women's Hospital, published in the American Journal of Epidemiology, following a healthy diet found to reduce the risk of acquired hearing loss by 30%. Yeah, healthier diet, better hearing. That's important. Well, by the way, one more thing for the people in this audience who may be concerned about improving erectile function in men, well, there's thigh ginseng, T-H-I, ginseng. Yeah, it's found to improve erectile function in men. Well, that's terrific, since we have so many tens of millions of men suffering from that. And this was published in the Journal of Integrative Medicine. So your sexual health positively correlates with overall well-being. So just something to help, all right? On Texas Christian University, as well as the University of Arkansas, also had a study showing curcumin, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, reduces anxiety and depression, even in people with major depression. How about that? Something natural, non-toxic. It also turns off inflammation throughout all the body, so it's also good at the same time for people with diabetes, arthritis, rheumatism, all forms of pain. So it's a double positive there. Curcumin, helping with anxiety and depression. And we're in the midst of a clinical study on depression and anxiety as we speak. And curcumin just so happens to be in that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from that break, we have someone who watched the Oscars. I did not. I don't have time for that nonsense. I just am so sick of so many people suffering from massive narcissism that they have to have preening and like a male peacock in mating season in front of the cameras, as if somehow we should defer to them in other matters. Yeah, act, we'll pay you for it if we like or don't like it, but please don't preach. And that's exactly what they're doing, especially at the Oscars. Lowest ratings in their history. We come back, someone's going to give you their opinion, just a regular person, you know, no one famous, just saying what they experienced. See if you could agree with that. And if you want to address some of the inputs we have coming up, then you'll call our talkback number at 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I think it's fair to say that Hollywood's been having kind of a tough time lately, what with the unspecified virus of unknown origin, shutting down movie theatres, and delaying major releases over the past year, combined with embarrassing revelations about what goes on behind closed doors, and a growing atmosphere of antagonism and hostility between the fine folks of Tinseltown and the customers who ultimately pay their wages. And never were these troubles more obvious than in the ratings for last night's Academy Awards ceremony, which recorded the lowest viewing figures in the show's history, dipping below 10 million for the first time. Damn, it was even worse than last year. And it got me to wondering, how exactly did it come to this? I mean, I'm old enough to remember a time when the Oscars was still an exciting event that had people buzzing with interest and speculation. Yeah, it could all get a little bit self-indulgent and excessive at times, and there probably weren't many people on the edge of their seats wondering which film was going to win Best Sound Design or Best Makeup, but generally speaking, the Oscars were an important barometer for the way the industry was going, and any film that won Best Picture was probably something you should pay attention to. But over time, it all began to change. As the years passed, the atmosphere changed from a celebration of film to a denigration of modern culture. More and more people used their time on the podium to push their hastily concocted political opinions, comment on the social issues of the day, and of course, rail against the Orange Man for some cheap applause. This kind of unwelcome political diarrhea all went hand in hand with demands for nominees to be picked based on their demographic makeup rather than the quality of their work. Great stuff, but the more desperately Hollywood tried to prove how virtuous and socially aware they were, the more we learned about the disturbing abuses of power behind the scenes that so many of them had quietly swept under the rug and turned a blind eye to for years. The end result of all of this was that Hollywood developed a reputation as a clique of arrogant, corrupt, spoiled, out-of-touch narcissists, endlessly lecturing regular people about how to live their lives while conveniently ignoring their own shortcomings, pushing divisive political rhetoric with only a vague understanding of the issues at hand, and self-righteously railing against the very system that pays for their obscenely lavish lifestyles in the first place. So I guess this video is kind of an open letter to anyone in Hollywood who might be inclined to listen. And that being the case, my message is a simple one. Stop this insanity. Stop trying to lecture us. Stop pretending to care about things that you absolutely don't take a minute out of your life to actually support. Stop using your platform as an excuse to push your own political views. Stop trying to inject it into every movie and TV show that you produce. And most of all, stop pretending that you're even intellectually or morally qualified to talk about this stuff. Your entire industry exists for the purposes of entertainment. That's your job. That's your one and only objective. You're there to entertain the paying customer. You're not there to tell them how to live their lives, or which groups of people they should support or condemn, or how the country should be run, or how they should vote in the next election. That is none of your business. And the more you try to do it, the more people you piss off in the process. It's no secret that the past year has been kind of a tough one, and for most people, daily life isn't all that fun or uplifting right now. And that's where you should be in your elements. Entertainment used to provide some much-needed escapism from the troubles and cares of the real world. No matter what was going on in our lives, we used to be able to watch a movie or a TV show and just lose ourselves in a different world for a couple of hours. A world that was allowed to be fun, exciting, colourful, and uplifting. It was like a little vacation from real life, and when we came back, we usually felt better about ourselves, a little more ready to take on the next challenge that came our way. But not now. Now it seems like every single piece of media produced today has to be saddled with all the baggage and issues and grievances of the real world. There's literally no escape from it anymore. Everywhere we turn, we're bombarded with relentless doom and gloom, or smug lectures about how we need to be better, or thinly veiled attacks hidden behind the mask of righteousness. Do you really think that's what people want or need right now? And what's worse is that all of it comes from people who absolutely aren't in a position to lecture anyone. Believe it or not, I don't entirely blame you for this. You live in a strange little fantasy bubble, safely removed from the real world, and surrounded by people who think just like you, or at least pretend to. People who automatically agree with every dumb thing that you say, and fueled by news and social media that's entirely skewed in one direction. But all that stuff is just as fake as the movies you produce, and the result is that you don't really understand the people you try to pander to. I mean, imagine for a moment that you're a working class family whose business has been shut down for the past year, leaving you struggling just to put food on the table. Every single day is a desperate grind to keep going and make ends meet. Then some multi-millionaire actor who lives in a gated mansion and wears clothes that cost more than your annual salary appears on your TV and starts demanding that you recognize your privilege, do better, and vote for the people they tell you to. Well, how would you react to that? Now perhaps you begin to see why regular people are less and less interested in watching you and your rich friends slap each other on the back for making things that nobody wants to watch and smelling your own farts for several hours. The thing is, you probably think I'm enjoying all of this, that I just want to see Hollywood burn to the ground out of sheer malice. But the truth is the exact opposite. I actually want you to succeed. I want Hollywood to be great again, because I know what you're capable of when you're at your best. You guys have produced some of the most incredible movie experiences of my lifetime. You've put together works of art that have thrilled me with excitement, made my heart pound with suspense, inspired me with wonder, and even brought a tear to my eye. And you've done this same thing to millions of people all across the world, generation after generation. But you're not doing it anymore. You've lost sight of why you exist. You're pushing your own audiences away by trying to force things on them that they don't want, and instead of taking a step back to question whether you're walking the wrong path, your pride and ego compels you to double down again and again. You're like a condemned man digging his own grave and berating his captors for not giving him a bigger shovel. I guess what I'm saying here is that maybe your audience aren't the ones who really need to do better here. Maybe you are. And maybe if you carry on like this, you're gonna learn that lesson the hard way. Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Go away good. Now.
Yeah, give them the finger. All of Hollywood, man, they deserve it. Well, CNN's got its ratings just about below 1 million viewers. All right. Whoa. People got sick of that crap, and all of them are down. People are seeking other venues to get their truth or information or even entertainment. We don't hear from average people speaking up. We only hear from those who are in control and told you're the policy and opinion leaders. No, you're not anymore. The experts, we don't want to hear from anymore because you've lied, you've been co-opted. Let me give you an example. This is from Matthew Schmitz, and it says the following. It's short. America is undergoing a godless revival, a new creed called social justice, wokeism, or the successor ideology, resembling religion yet avowedly secular and anti-spiritual, is spreading across the country. Its seminaries are the nation's elite universities. Its missionaries work in prestigious newsrooms. Adherents are remaking powerful institutions by, quote, canceling, end quote, anyone who dissects or lacks zeal for the cause. Like any good revival, this one is replete with hellfire preaching. Eager audiences are told of their inescapable guilt or their, quote, privilege. Repentance is demanded, but forgiveness is not offered. An overlooked aspect is in the now crowded conversation around the rise of wokeness is its potential to transform a decades-old pattern of cultural and political divisions in America as secular progressivism becomes more zealous and evangelical, trampling over traditional American notions of limited governance and tolerance, it may be drawing together common enemies. Catholic traditionalists, Orthodox Jews, middle America small business owners, and skeptical liberal atheists may not seem to have much in common, yet each group is threatened by the hegemonic power of progressive ideology. As a consequence, the defining fault line in American politics may no longer be between left and right. The relevant division now is between people who accept the binding state-backed power of the new post-secular creed and the diverse coalition groups, including traditional religious communities, left-wing materialists, and one-time liberals alienated by the creeping dominance of left-wing absolutism who resist its authority. Wokeism imagines a utopian world, one ruled without force, unbound by borders, freed from biology. We must, quote, defund the police, abolish ICE, and affirm, quote, trans women are women, end quote. Heresy on the cardinal issues of the race, the nation, and sex is not tolerated. James Bennett, opinion editor of the New York Times, was forced to resign after running afoul of the New Orthodoxy. He joined a growing list of people that includes prominent media and cultural figures alongside just ordinary citizens who have lost their jobs or otherwise been punished for alleged ideological infractions. Quote, wokeism is not merely an idle belief system. Increasingly, it is the official philosophy of the American ruling class employed to justify the exercise of coercive power. Governmental authorities and corporations now coordinate in enforcing the dictates of the new secular progressive faith, often at the cost of protecting the constitutional liberties and of traditional religions. Consider the response to the novel coronavirus. Actual religious services among Jews, Christians, and Muslim communities was banned, while mass demonstrations were cheered on by elected officials, civic leaders, and public health professionals. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio threatened to arrest attendees of mass gatherings after a funeral in Brooklyn for an Orthodox rabbi drew 2,500 mourners. But he cheered on the protest following the death of George Floyd in March in Brooklyn and drew over 15,000 people. In his view, demonstrators were, quote, grappling with an extraordinary crisis seated in 400 years of American racism, end quote, deserve prerogatives not merited out to the, quote, devout religious person who wants to go back to services. De Blasio's statement provides the clearest articulation yet offered by any political figure of the way in which the original understanding of America has been reversed. The state, having aligned itself with one creed over others, no longer serves to protect freedom of religious expression, but rather officiates secular doctrines of the establishment anti-religion. How can the trend towards woke hegemony be reversed? Some believe the answer lies in the defending neutral values such as free speech and free inquiry. That defense is certainly necessary. The acceptable range of opinion has become too narrow. Academic research and scientific investigation have been corrupted politically, but resisting a crusading creed like wokeism will require more than instituting insisting upon freedom of thought and speech. It will require defending a different and sounder set of ideals, a social consensus that is non-utopian, such as well, I've said enough. That's half of it, and I have a lot more to get to, but that's just one perspective here. And think about that, because look who they're canceling now. Matt Taibbi, Chris Hedges, let's see, who else? Max Blumenthal and Glenn Greenwald. Naomi Wolf are just some of the names of people. Abby Martin. They're canceling them, destroying their reputations, threatening people who would be future employers. They want them broke and gone. And yet, all of these people were once at the heart of the corporate liberal community. Not any longer. So who then will speak for the truth? Who then will lead the causes to reestablish the freedom of assembly and the freedom of debate and the freedom of speech? Who? If they take some of the best and brightest from us, some of those who spent their lifetime defending the truth, what is left? Just propagandists. That's it. So I want to thank Matthew Schmitz for writing this. I'm sorry, I do not know the publication. I didn't see any byline for it, or I would have given it. But his article is posted on prn.fm, and we're posting a lot of articles up there, by the way, far more than what I can get to on today's program. But then we have another thing here. Listen to this. This is from Off Guardian, from Susie Haltwood. In 1956, German pharmaceutical company, GmbH, licensed a new experimental drug designed to treat colds, flu, nausea, and morning sickness, known as Dis-Tavol in the United Kingdom. It declared the drug would be, quote, given with complete safety to pregnant women and nursing mothers without adverse side effects on mother or child. But, by the way, a basic prerequisite for licensing any drug. And while 49 countries licensed the drug under multiple different names, the then head of the FDA, Dr. Francis Kelsey, a physician pharmacologist with a profound interest in fetal development, refused authorization for use in the United States market due to her concerns about the lack of evidence regarding the drug's safety. That drug was known as thalidomide. 65 years on, and the stringent safety measures brought in to avoid another scandal on the scale of thalidomide have been swept aside by Anthony Fauci, by Bill Gates, by the President of the United States, by the head, the Surgeon General, by the head of the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization. It's one massive fraud. There is nothing they have done to show the actual safety of the drugs that are on the market, these new experimental vaccines, none of which, not a single one of which, was tested to see will it prevent infection, which it clearly does not. In fact, the week after you get the infection, your immune system really goes down. And that's why a lot of people who were COVID negative got the vaccine, became COVID positive, then got very sick and some have died. Thousands have died in the United States. Tens of thousands injured and seriously injured in the United States. Many more thousands have died in the United Kingdom, more in the European Union, and hundreds of thousands, probably approaching a million, serious injuries around the world. Look at it a different way. We were told this is safe and effective. I played you the clips of them saying, oh, it's very, very safe. It is not. It is not safe nor effective. Any other drug were put out there that had more than 5 deaths, it'd be withdrawn. 15 deaths, taken off the market. 1 or 2 deaths, black label, which means warning. Nothing with this, just nonstop cheerleading at all the major media, all the governmental agencies. So just be aware, you have a historical predicament. Do we continue to use the American public as human guinea pigs? And this is from Mike Whitney from Unzu Review. I'll do just a few. And again, we have Mike's commentary posted on PRN. You can read the entire thing of all these by going to prn.fm. Quote, the risk-benefit calculus is therefore clear. The experimental vaccines are needless, ineffective, and dangerous. Actors authorizing, coercing, or administering experimental COVID vaccines are exposing populations and patients to serious, unnecessary, and unjustified medical risks, end quote. Doctors for COVID Ethics, October 29th, 2021. That's a large group, hundreds and hundreds of doctors, and they don't put their name to that kind of quote, knowing it risks retaliation. And by the way, quote, an explosive new study by researchers at the prestigious Salk Institute cast doubt on the current crop of gene-based vaccines that may pose a grave risk to public health. The article, which is entitled "The Novel Coronavirus Spike Protein Plays Additional Key Role in Illness," end quote, shows that SARS-2, quote, distinctive spike protein, quote, damages cells, confirming COVID-19 as a primary vascular disease, end quote. While the paper focuses strictly on COVID-related issues, it unavoidably raises questions about the new vaccines that contain billions of spike proteins that could greatly increase the chances of severe illness or death. And then it goes into excerpts from that. Have you heard anything about that? Not a word. And finally, before I take your calls on all this, one more thing on the cancel culture. This is from Spiked One online. And if Isaac Newton can be canceled, no one is safe. A draft inclusive curriculum at Sheffield University dismisses Newton as a beneficiary of colonialism. Quote, the administrators in charge of higher education at the United Kingdom in the United Kingdom have embraced some of the worst features of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. One of the aims of the Chinese Cultural Revolution was to mobilize young people to loathe their ancestors and to purge the present of their influence. It seems that Sheffield University has wholeheartedly embraced this doctrine and is planning to discredit the reputation of one of the world's greatest scientists, Sir Isaac Newton. In the case of the Chinese Cultural Revolution, the purging of the past was promoted because it was viewed as essential for the realization of communism. British university bureaucrats, on the other hand, justify their war against the nation's historical figures in the name of sacred principle of diversity. A leaked document, a copy of the draft inclusive curriculum development to, quote, decolonize the engineering curriculum at Sheffield University, warns that Newton may have benefited from colonial era activity, whatever the hell that means. Apparently, the engineering faculty at Sheffield will decolonize its curriculum in an effort to tackle, quote, longstanding conscious and unconscious biases. What is an unconscious bias among students to challenge, quote, Eurocentric and white savior approaches to science and math to promote inclusive design? That is another way of saying students should feel guilty and should and show their loathing for the founders of the science they are studying. It's important to understand that planned inclusive curriculum development has nothing in the world to do with academic education and has even less to do with engineering or science. Its sole aim is to distance engineering students from their nation's past and make them feel that there is something morally wrong with the intellectual and scientific legacy of their discipline. Its objective is to socialize students to despise their background and induce a sense of guilt. In effect, the plan to decolonize the engineering curriculum aims to undermine the reputation of one of the most important founders of modern science, the English mathematician, physicist, astronomer, and author Isaac Newton. Is not just another scientist, by the way. He was and remains widely recognized as one of the greatest mathematicians and scientists of all time. Arguably, he was the most important figure in the scientific revolution. So, to this audience, just listen to what I'm saying. If they come for Newton, then how long is it before they start coming for Louis Pasteur, Michael Faraday, Albert Einstein? Will they be targeted by know-nothing, Philistine, diversity-inspired culture revolutionary idiots? So it is not surprising that Sheffield's draft curriculum indicates that world-renowned scientists like Paul Dirac and Pierre-Simon Lapace and Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz could be also canceled completely. The outlook that inspires the proposed engineering curriculum is best described as a form of woke presentism. And this presentism incites people to despise their past, not to examine it, not to scholarly look at it, not to dissect it, but it encourages a sense of moral complacency and self-congratulations. It flatters students who buy into this project. They may not be on the same scientific plane as Newton, but because they have acknowledged their unconscious bias, they are a better person than the leading light of the scientific revolution. That is what's happening right now historically illiterate diversity entrepreneurs have come to virtually every major university. Edinburgh University has decided to rename Hume Tower because some student claimed that the 18th century philosopher's view on race caused them distress. And a liberal philosopher, by the way, one of the first major liberal philosophers, David Hume, who is now branded a racist, apparently fails to measure up to the present-day standards set by diversity trainers. And also John Locke, whose philosophy developed the idea of tolerance, is just another 17th century racist. Adam Smith, another towering figure of the Scottish Enlightenment, is also a racist. Apparently everybody from the past was a racist. This is what we're engaging with people, and you neglect it at your own risk. Because when they destroyed the reputations of the best and brightest minds in all of history, look how easily they control other minds that are less capable of critical thinking. Just something to think about. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'd like to hear from you. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Look, I'm going to take on the issues that are need taking on because a lot of people won't take on anything. You know, they're afraid. And we're not. So we're going to have an open forum, a polite forum with dignity and respect for diversity of ideas. But out there, there's censorship, book burnings, a new McCarthyism, insensitivity towards anyone who has a different view. Imagine them screaming, hating, bullying, beating, burning, but then say something you said threatened their whole life. Wow. And yet the mainstream media is supporting this. Coming back, 888-874-4888. If you have a thought on any of this, I'd like to hear from you. This is time for you to have a forum to talk back. Let's say hello to Lawrence from Westchester. Hi, Lawrence, your turn.
Hi, Gary. I want to just thank you for all the wonderful things that you've been doing, all the information you've been providing for people. I was wondering what your thoughts were on someone that has mast cell activation syndrome and the vaccine. And are there any protocols that someone with mast cell activation syndrome can use to improve their life? And I'd appreciate your thoughts on that.
All right. The most important thing is to realize that most of the historical vaccines that are not new experimental RNAs, which can stay in your body for the rest of your life, continuing to produce the spike protein, so your body can produce an antibody to it, and hence not even taking into consideration all the people who have autoimmune conditions, which is about 130 million Americans whose lives could put at risk and the quality of their life really damaged, and they're experimenting. There's no evidence that they've done any long-term studies whatsoever, and so anyone telling it that these vaccines are safe and effective is lying. But historically, what we would do, we would get someone in who had vaccine damage to themselves or a child, and we would go through a detoxification process. The first step would be chelation. So chelation therapy would work. It would take time, probably anywhere from 50 to 100 sessions, but it chelates out the toxins that are in there, especially the aluminum as an adjuvant or the mercury as an adjuvant. It also, at the same time, by flooding the body with things such as chlorophyll, mainly spirulina and chlorella, with vitamin C, and then we give high-dose vitamin C, especially to the children who had been damaged or the adults where they were manifesting some form of autism or neurological damage. Then we give them graduating doses of glutathione as well as extra vitamin B12, extra folic acid, like a 1 milligram of each in a methylated form. And then we would start to try to help the damage done in the brain at the levels of neurons. And that's where the high-quality oxygen therapies come in, high dose of vitamin E and tocotrienols, trimethylglycine, very important. And then a whole series of homeopathic solutions, including the zeolite protocols. Now, that's just a rough overview, but that's what we would do. However, and it worked, a lot of lives were reversed and vaccine damage changed. I did a film on it called Autism Made in USA, where we showed the before and after. And I personally reversed a young man. I don't know if his parents are listening today. Wonderful couple, wonderful family, the Ortegas. They were both New York City police officers, work in Bed-Stuy, where they lived. And their son, his autism was completely reversed. In fact, I took him down to Washington, D.C. at an international science convention where I was one of the keynote speakers for my work on a different subject, on reversing menopause symptoms in women, 500 women over a year. And we introduced him on the stage, and he went out, and had cards in his hand. I said, what are the cards? He said, outstanding student of the week or month at a very important and very prestigious school, very high-quality school. And then what do you like to do? I like music, and I like making breakfast for my family. And then I said he had full-blown autism. He would grunt, couldn't talk. And now look at him. Well, there must have been 500 scientists when we left the podium. And by the way, I also took someone with advanced Alzheimer's that had been reversed. And out in the hallway, all these people came over. They had never seen anything like this. But you don't hear a word about that. But this new vaccine, different story. The new vaccines, when they're in there, unfortunately, we do not at this moment have any evidence of what can take the toxins out, because they're not using the adjuvants. They're not using mercury or aluminum. But they are using polysorbate 80, and that can cause all kinds of problems. In any case, I just was on the weekend. I just spoke with a group of scientists about are you willing to try some protocols for people who have gotten damaged? And they say yes. So I'm in the process now, and I don't have the evidence yet. It's merely a hypothesis of what I believe could help a person. But I don't want to say anything till we actually have had some people who are vaccine damaged and able to reverse that, and we can measure before and after. And that way I can share it with you and write an article for the doctors. And I've got a list of probably 80,000 holistic practitioners, and I'll send it out to all of them. Lawrence, thank you for your question. Now, before we take any more, and I'm happy to take another one, just want to share that we have a new special for everyone today. This is a good one. I want to pull it up here so I can give you the exact what's in it. They create them out in New York. Here it is. It's one of the best products I've created. Boy, this is a broad-based one that helps. Digestive stuff. This is the special. Now, mind you, this is not an antacid. When I do a product, it's for the whole body, but it also is meant as a functional application, meaning something that really benefits you in a very specific way. I can imagine what it would be if the product is called digestive stuff, but I put banana and apples, pineapples, papaya, bromelain, and cellulase, amylase, protease, lipase, Bacillus subtilis, 10 billion probiotics. That's 10 billion in a single serving. Of course, organic ginger root, organic cinnamon bark, organic aloe vera leaf, whole leaf, organic marshmallow root, anise seed, fennel seed, slippery elm bark, and of course, organic stevia. You talk about something that really works and is extra good for you with the probiotics at 10 billion and whole leaf aloe vera, the finest aloe vera organically grown down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Now, this is it, digestive stuff. And how you use it every other day. All right, one scoop in the morning. But that's not alone. I'm adding some things to it today. I'm adding my chocolate. And this is the organic dark chocolate bar with organic mint. It's 70% cacao. And I chose 70% because that's where it's really biologically active. But if you go above that, it's going to be tart. It's vegan, it's gluten-free, it's dairy-free, it's soy-free, it's non-GMO, and it's kosher. All right? And it's delicious. We spent about 6 months going back and forth. Every sample they sent, I'd say, nope, 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 to finally, yes. So this is what you get. All right, you're getting the coconut oil. You're getting the Dutch cacao. Not a whole lot in it, but a perfect blend of a healthy chocolate, the good chocolate. It's called Dark Chocolate. You're getting that also in here. You're also getting a video with my daughter and I on shopping and cooking for good health. And it's got a lot of good information. I actually go into supermarkets. I show you how to shop and show you how to cook and show you all kinds of recipes, as does Shelley. So she'll show you how to equip your kitchen. What do you need so that you can make anything you want? How to replace eggs, you know, have an egg replacer. How to make something taste great, whether it's a Caesar salad without the dairy, and just savory mushrooms, green quiche without eggs. So all that is in that, and you're getting that. So that's the package. You're getting this terrific package, all right? All that stuff, and you're getting it on sale. It's called the Digestive Stuff Special. So here's the number you call to get it, and you're getting like a huge discount, over $55 discount. Call 877-627-5065. That's 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Or call Neil in the Vitamin Closet in our office at 646-926-5430. Neil's there from Monday through Saturday, from noon until 8 o'clock at night. 646-926-5430. Now, let's see if do we have any other callers up here? I don't see any. Gwen from New York. Hi, your
Gary.
Turn. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. How are you? I wanted to tell you, I guess, two things. I know we have only 2 minutes left. So the first thing, just quickly, is that my nephew is autistic. And one of the reasons why I've opted not to use this this vaccine is because of our interactions with my nephew. And he's a high-functioning autistic child. But my sister has a psychiatrist who has him on Haldor. That's a different issue, but I just, at some point, maybe tomorrow, I wish you would talk about what that's doing to him. But for me, what I wanted to tell you today, or just to put it out there, is my real fear about telling people that I have chosen, because I've listened to you and I've gathered other information about this vaccine, to not take it at this time. And I said this the other day. I went in to start looking for jobs again, and it's a big deal. I'm a makeup artist, and everybody was talking about it, and I didn't say anything. But I, my reason for not wanting to take it is because of the delivery system and the fact that through going through your DNA, there's a good chance of it causing autoimmune diseases for the rest of my life, probably, or maybe, or it could happen. And the fact that it could happen is why I don't want to do that, because autism is so real to me and how it destroyed our family. And
you and 2 million other parents, by the way, 2 million parents have gone down your road. We don't have time today to deal with this, but I will deal with this tomorrow. All right. And natural approaches to autism tomorrow, because I've reversed autism and I'm helping a young man right now. Was able to help him get off all of his drugs, medications, and normalizing behavior. And his father is just amazed, because he had him in so many institutions, so many other medications, and none of that worked. And so nobody believed a natural approach could work, but it does. But you got to know the facts, and you got to have the proper guidance. I'll deal with that tomorrow, okay? Thank you for your call. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.